1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you can turn there in your Bibles while you remain standing, just a little bit longer. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through to verse 26. Amen. Praise God. Before we read there, I'm going to wait till everyone's got it. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to verse 26. Today is a special day. Does anyone know what today is? It's the 11th of November, which is Remembrance Day. That's right. You see, on the 11th of November, 1918, the guns of the Western Front, that's the First World War, fell silent after 4 years of continuous warfare. 4 years. With their armies retreating and close to collapse, the German leaders signed an armistice, bringing an end to the First World War. And so on the 11th day of the 11th month at 11 o'clock, we stop to remember the soldiers that have died in all theaters of war. It's not just about World War I anymore. It's about World War II and all the wars. We remember the soldiers that have died fighting to protect our nation, fighting for peace, all of those things. And we have a minute's silence. How many people had a minute's silence today at 11 o'clock? Yeah, number of people. We had a minute's silence. I was in Cootamundra today for their midweek service, and we took some time to have a minute's silence. And remembrance is very, very important, to remember. And that's what this table is about. This table is about remembrance. It's not about remembering fallen soldiers who died to purchase our freedom, but it's remembering our Savior, whose blood was shed, whose body was broken for our sins. And so 1 Corinthians 11 verse 23, on this Remembrance Day, isn't it fitting that we come to the table of remembrance? For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, Paul says, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The bread symbolizes my body, he says. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This, do this in remembrance of me. Everyone say remembrance. And in the same manner also, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want to speak tonight just on this one word, remembrance. Everyone say remembrance. Remembrance. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this time to be able to gather around your table and to reflect and remember of all the things that you've done for us, but especially, oh God, your death, your blood that was shed, and your body that was broken for us. Lord God, you went all the way to the cross of Calvary, Lord God, to take our sins upon you and to die in our place. Help us to never forget, but Lord, tonight as we partake of the bread and the grape juice, Lord, as we remember your broken body and your blood that was shed, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that it would birth a fresh gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts. Oh God, that we would realize the sacrifice you made for us, and that we would be willing also, oh God, to give our all for you. Oh, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Remembrance, you may be seated. Remembrance. I was excited when I realized late last week, actually, that communion service fell on Remembrance Day. The loss of memory is a sad thing. Anybody who's had a loved one that has lost their memory, it's a very, very sad thing. It's a very sad thing to go to somebody that you love and they can't remember who you are. Maybe some of you, that the thought that I've just mentioned has stirred up emotions of loved ones. Because the loss of memory, it cuts you off or it cuts somebody off from the days that have gone by, the past. It erases, when you lose your memory, it erases your personal history, and it leaves your life with blank pages. It's amazing, different people, when they suffer memory loss in old age, can remember some things and they can't remember other things. There's lots of blank pages. My papa, I call him papa, he's my dad's stepfather actually, my grandfather. He's in his mid-90s now and he's in a nursing home, and he has dementia and he's lost a lot of his memory, although he still remembers my dad. And it was hard to see him, especially before we knew that he had dementia, to see him losing his memory slowly. We were very, very scared and alarmed when we heard that he would go to the car an hour early to familiarize himself with the controls again, the dangers. And so it was hard to see him losing his memory. Initially, he tried to mask it. He tried to pretend that he was just joking and he couldn't remember, you know. He would try to mask it and cover it up and make fun of himself, and nobody thought, they just thought, oh, he's just having a bad day. They call it these days a senior's moment. But I know how humiliating it must have been for my grandfather, who was such a sharp man, to lose his memory. You see, the loss of memory for us as we get older, it's unavoidable. But the loss of memory is not always unavoidable. Sometimes we are forgetful. I'm not talking about dementia, but sometimes we are forgetful because we neglect what has gone before us. We forget because we neglect what has gone before us, and we become inattentive to those who have preceded. It's like we just don't care what happened before. And so we forget. And what happens, the reason why people forget, the reason why people could just close the pages on things in the past, is because they center all of their attention on the here and now. They center all of their attention on their own time and their own place. Where am I now? What am I experiencing now? What is happening now? And by doing that, they forget the past. And so forgetfulness is not always unavoidable. Sometimes we just refuse to go back and remember. In fact, our children say things like, oh, you never seem to do anything for me. Well, Dad, don't you love us? Or something like that. Well, I say, don't you remember the bed you woke up in this morning? I gave you that. And the breakfast you ate, I gave you that, you know. We've got to remind them, because young children become so selfish and just so focused on the here and now and their own time and their own place, and they forget the things of the past. They act as if the present, and a lot of young people like this today as well, they act as if the present is the only thing that matters. And the past is something that you just cast away like an old worn out shoe or something like that. You just get rid of it. You see, a failure of memory is not just something that leads to a personal inconvenience. It's not just something that leads to some embarrassment because you forgot. When our memory fails, we are in spiritual danger. Everyone say spiritual danger. And so that's what this table is about. That's why Jesus told us to often have the table of remembrance, to remember the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, and to remember his body that was broken for us. That's why every year on the 25th of April we have Anzac Day, to remember that we are a nation and we have freedoms because of those that have gone before us and died for us. That's why on the 11th of November, we stop for a minute's silence to remember what has gone before. And as often as we have those events once a year, we are told to also remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And forgetfulness can be a very, very dangerous spiritual thing. Forgetfulness, when you forget the goodness of God, we sing that song, how can I forget what he's done for me? Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. But when you forget what God has done for you, it slowly begins to erode your relationship with God. You see, some people, and this is an interesting thing, and I don't know what you're going to think, but some people, they've been saved so long that they forgot what it was like to not be saved. They take it for granted that they're saved. I mean, their life was in a mess. They had no hope. They found Jesus. But now they've been living the privileged life and the blessed life and been living for Jesus. And they've forgotten what it felt like to be lost. I've even prayed. I prayed to some people. I say, God, give them a dream that reminds them of what it felt like before they came to Jesus. Because if you can remember where you came from, it will give you a fresh passion to live for God now. Amen? And so forgetfulness can erode the foundation of our Christian walk. And if you look through the Bible, if you were to scan through the pages of the Word of God, you will see the importance of remembrance. Everyone say remembrance. In the Bible, we see frequent references to monuments, to memorial feasts, to this continually repeating stories one after another and passing the stories generation to generation, because all of these monuments and memorials and feasts, they all serve to reinforce the memories, to reinforce the memories of what God has done in the past. And we know that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He did it back in the Bible times, He can do it again. And sometimes if we need a boost in our faith, all we got to do is remember what He done for us in the past. Some of us, we've been healed and we forgot about the miraculous healing power of God. And now we stand here wondering, oh, I wonder if God's going to heal me. Oh, all we ought to do is just think back what He's done in the past for us. He can do it again. We like that scripture where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we kind of think that Paul's kind of forward-looking, like he's about to take a leap of faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in fact, Paul is looking back over his life. He's remembering everything that he's been through, all the hardships, all the trials, all the difficulties. And he looks back and he remembers all those things. And he turns to the situation that's facing him now. He says, when I remember what God has done in the past, when I remember how He brought me through in the past, when I look at this situation, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If He gave me the strength now, He can give me the strength now. Praise God. So remembrance is so important. Remembrance is a way of rehearsing and remembering all those things that God has done. Now we go in the Bible to Joshua chapter 3. You can turn there now. Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 and 4. We're going to read from there. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, Joshua said to the people of Israel, he said, sanctify yourselves. Get ready, prepare yourself, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Everyone say wonders. In other words, He's going to do the amazing. He's going to demonstrate His power. It's going to be beyond our imagination, beyond our human thinking. He says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In case you don't know, he was referring to the crossing of the River Jordan. They're getting ready to cross the River Jordan, and God was setting to part the river, the waters to the left and the right. And they were getting ready to go through on dry land. Everyone say dry land. They were getting ready to experience a breakthrough, a miracle, a move of God, something that nobody has ever seen before. And here they are, ready to see a miracle. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. When they get on the other side, what happens? Joshua tells them, he says, go and get 12 stones. Go and get the stones of remembrance. Everyone say remembrance. There were 12 tribes. Go and get 12 stones. And because we're going to make a memorial that we never forget this occasion. That we never forget this occasion. Look at this. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, so 12 men, one from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the midst of the Jordan, go through the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Why get the stones? That this may be a sign, that this may be a memorial that you will never forget, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time. One day, in years to come, the children are going to see the stones and they're going to say, what do these stones mean? What do these stones mean to you? And Joshua said, then you will answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. You will tell them about how the River Jordan parted. And you'll tell them how you crossed over on the dry ground. And those stones will be a memorial that you will never forget this occasion. And so what did God tell them to take the stones from the middle of Jordan for? Why? As a memorial. Remembrance. In Deuteronomy 6 verse 10 and 12, it says this, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you out of the land, brings you into the land, of which he swore unto your fathers. When you go to the promised land, so it will be, the land of your father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to give you large and beautiful cities which you do not build. The time is coming. Your house is going to be full of good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full. And then what? He's talking about the promised land that they're going to inherit. And then verse 12 says this, when you get there, beware. Turn to your neighbor and say, beware. When you inherit the promised land, when you get over in the promised land, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Be careful, beware you don't forget. And I've seen it time and time again, I'm sorry to say, but I've seen God bring people out of addictions, drug addictions. I've seen God do mighty miracles of healing and deliverance. And you know what? A couple of years down the track, they've forgotten what God has done. We cannot afford to forget. You see, sometimes people are looking for future breakthroughs, but they've forgotten the past breakthroughs. They've forgotten the things that God has done in the past. We can become so fixated on the here and now that we forget what God has done in the past. In Joshua 3, verse 14 to 17, look at this. And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests. This is the account, bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. They got the Ark on their shoulders. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and their feet of the priests who bore the Ark as they dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still, and rose in a heap very far at Adam and the cities of Zaratan. So the waters went down into the sea of Arabah and the Salt Sea and failed and were cut off. In other words, they parted and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground. Everyone say dry ground. Until all the people had crossed. That is a powerful breakthrough. And God says, you know what? Somebody needs to remember that. Joshua said, we got to remember that. We cannot afford to forget that. God tells Joshua, make sure it's recorded. Make sure you get a photo. Make sure you make a memorial. Make sure we do something so we don't forget it. Go and get 12 stones and make a record. Remember where we came from. Remember how we got to where we got. You know, there's nothing worse than seeing people that forgot where they came from. You know, even just in our own human flesh, you know, you see somebody who, you know, they were a down and outer with you, and now they're doing well, and they're like, yeah, man. And they're looking down upon people that were where they once upon a time were. Anyone ever met people like that? People that grew up in, you know, say a really poor suburb or something like that, and now they got a lot of money, and they look down their nose at people that, you're like, come on, man, remember where you come from. We don't like that, do we? And God's the same. When he delivers us, he doesn't want us to forget where we came from. He doesn't want us to forget how we got to where we are now. And God tells Joshua, make sure it's recorded. And so it's not just about remembering yesterday, though. Remembering yesterday is important, but memorials are to remind us that yesterday's God is still good for tomorrow. That the same God who helped us yesterday, the same things that he did in times past, he can do it again. And so this table and remembering the goodness of God in the past is not just remembering what God has done, but to know what God has done, that he can do it again. And that's why it's important to testify. That's why the importance of our testimony, to tell other people what God has done in our life, even in the past. Look at this, Joshua 4 verse 21. Then he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know. You ought to tell them when they ask what these stones are, how do we get here, what is this? You tell them, Israel crossed over this Jordan. See this river Jordan? See this, kids? We came through here on dry ground. Wow, how did that happen? God helped us. And when your children see the blessing of God on your life, when they see the things that God has done in your life and the many blessings and how God has delivered you from addictions and all sorts of trouble, when your children say, how do we get here? You ought to tell them your testimony. God, help me. You see, once upon a time, I was lost in my sin. I want to tell you, son, once upon a time, I was an alcoholic. Once upon a time, I was addicted to drugs. Once upon a time, I was doing all the wrong things. But one day, God showed up and my life changed. And I tell you, when you tell them that, they're going to have faith for the future. What do these stones mean? You tell your children, this is where we crossed through on dry ground. This is where the miracle happened. That all the people, verse 20, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Ooh. Remembrance. So here it is. After the waters part, they've gone through on dry ground. Everybody's on the other side. Joshua 12 tells 12 men to go back, get the stones, make the memorial. We've got to remember. Now, when they got over the other side of the Jordan, were they immediately in the promised land? No, they weren't. They were in the wilderness. The Bible says in the wilderness they followed a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so what happened? They got through the Jordan, they had the miracle, and now they're in the promised land? No, they had some battles to fight. And God knew that they had some battles to fight. And God knew the importance of them remembering what God had done in times past. They had to fight some battles before they inherited the promises that God had. And we're going to have to fight some battles, people. Church, we're going to have to fight some battles. And you're going to have to stop and remember, listen, the same God that helped me back then can help me again. He was with me through the fire. He can be with me through the water. He saved me from addiction. He healed my body then. He can heal my body now. When you get your breakthrough, let me tell you, when you get your breakthrough, all your problems don't disappear. No, you got your breakthrough, but now your breakthrough is going to give you strength to face your future problems. Remembrance. In other words, what do these stones mean? Well, don't forget, the same God that brought you through that mess can bring you through this mess. Somebody needs to say amen about that. You're in a mess right now. You need to hear that tonight. Joshua 4, verse 6 and 7. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time, what do these stones mean? tell them this is where God helped us. And so you can tell the future generations about the story about how you got over. God says, leave them there for the future generations. When they ask questions, you're going to have an answer. When they face problems, you're going to have an answer. When you don't know what to do, you've got a memorial to remember that God helped you in the past. That is the power of remembrance. Now, I can't go any further talking about remembrance without talking about people that dwell in the past. Has anyone met somebody that dwells in the past? They dwell in the past. People you often hear always say, the good old days. I'm wondering what the good old days were. For some people, it was the 70s. To some people, it was the 20s. And so some people look at the 70s and say, they were the good old days. And people that were living in the 70s say, the 20s were the good old days. The people living in the 20s say the 1800s were the good old days. And the people that live in the 1800s say the 1500s were the good old days. And so I'm on a quest to find out the good old days. But the reality is every single one of us, we just refer to our past as being the good old days, don't we? And so if I was to ask Brother Musica what the good old days, he would say a totally different time than if I asked Brother James what the good old days. I asked Brother James, what were the good old days? He'd say, 2015. That was yesterday for me. If I asked Brother Musica what the good old days were, he'd probably say the 1960s were the good old days. Maybe not that far back, brother. The 70s were the good old days. But we can't dwell on the past. Sometimes we're tempted to glorify the days gone by. We say life was simpler back then, the good old days. Friendships were closer back then, the good old days. People were more pure and their motives were better in the good old days, and on and on and on. You know what they call it? They call it the golden age syndrome. The golden age syndrome. You can look it up. No matter what your favorite period of time may be, the problem is that when we look back to the golden age, we distort the past. And what happens is we believe that the best days of life are behind us. And so when people start talking about the good old days, say, stop. Is this what you're saying? You're saying that the best years of your life are behind you? They might look at you strange, but I'm telling you, you're asking them the right question. Are you really saying that the best years of your life are already gone and that everything else in the future is just anticlimactic? It's like an anticlimax that you got nothing to look forward to? So we don't want to dwell in the past. But we do, when we look back at the past, we have what we call hopeful memories. Everyone say hopeful. A hopeful memory doesn't drag you into the past and lock you there. A hopeful memory does not tell you that the best days of your life are already gone. Rather, a hopeful memory is what these stones were. The stones were a memory from the past that gave us hope for the future. Do you understand what I'm saying today? You see, we're not to go and dwell in the past, but we are to look back to the hopeful memories. When we look at those things that happened in the past, they thrust us into the future. And this table is not about dwelling in the past. It's not about crucifying the Lord again. It's not about reflecting on the gore and the blood and the pain and the agony of the cross. It's not about dwelling there, but when we look at the cross, we have a hopeful memory that the same Savior that saved us is still with us and He's going to bring us through again. And by His blood, yes, our sins were washed away, but His blood that was shed reminds us that if I sin again and if I fail again, His blood is going to cover my sin. His grace is still amazing. His mercy is still endless. He is still long-suffering. And when I look at this table, I'm not dwelling in the past. I got hopeful memories. I got hopeful memories. It's going to thrust me into the future. When I look at the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, it reminds me that I can go and live for Jesus and also make a sacrifice. And so when the prophets of old were called to remember the works that God had done in the past. They weren't saying, go back and just think about it. No, when God told his people to remember the works in the past, he was preparing them for the future. And this table is not just about dwelling in the past. It's about preparing us for the future. We ought to walk out of this remembrance service today changed and thrusted into our future. New passion, new love, new desire, all those things. Because this table is not just about our best days are behind us. No, it's about hopeful memories that thrust us into the future. And there's been many times I can say that I've come to this table and in my remembrance, God has given me a shift in my thinking for the future. Amen? And so the Lord's Supper is a hopeful memory. It doesn't just not about glorifying the past. When we take the bread and the cup, we remember the broken body and the blood of the Lord. Yes, there are things that all the things that happened at the cross, the cruelty and the betrayal and all those things. But the Lord's Supper does more. It reminds us for the future of the sacrificial love of God. It reminds us for the future. I'm talking about remembrance, the love of God. That's what it reminds me of. And I need that tomorrow. And I'm going to need it next week. And I'm going to need it next year. I'm going to need to have a hopeful memory that when I look at the cross, I see his love. I can see his love then, and I can see his love now. When I look at this table, it gives me hope that I can fall into the hands of a loving God. David, as we learn on Sunday, he said, I would rather fall into the hands of the Lord. He's rich in mercy, his grace. It reminds me that through the cross and the shed blood of Jesus that, yes, I can recover from a fall. I can recover from a mistake. I can recover from a failure. Why? Because his blood reminds me. And his blood flows down 2,000 years and still washes me clean. But it's even more than that. The table also tells us. It reminds us that he's coming again. That we are to do this until Jesus comes back. The Lord's Supper is even more than that because we see the promise that Jesus will come again and he will come for his church, for his bride. You see, the Lord's Supper not only points to the past, it not only points to the now, but it also points to the future. We look back, we look at the now, and we look to the future. I'm talking about remembrance. So we come to this table tonight. The cross. The cross was the focus of Jesus' mission. It's the reason he came, to seek and to save the lost. How? To die on the cross. As a sheep led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He came to die. He came to lay down his life. The Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. And so Jesus's mission was not done until he cried those words, it is finished, until he was crucified. And so at the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, some amazing things happened. The earth shook. But in the tabernacle, something happened. In the tabernacle, the veil was shed from the top to the bottom. The veil was veiling the Holy of Holies, where only the priests could go. But when that veil was rent, all of the ceremonies, everyone say ceremonies, the ceremonial practices were all done away with. No longer did we have to bring a lamb into the temple and sacrifice it for our sins, or a goat or something like that. No, Jesus, he became the lamb. He died in our place. And so all those ceremonies and rituals, they all ended at the cross. But one remained. He commanded one to remain. And it was a ritual of remembrance. It was the communion table. He said, do this until I come. He said, participate in my death. Remember my death. Remember my blood that was shed. Remember my body that was broken. Yeah, all those other things were done away with. But Jesus said, keep having this memorial table so you never forget. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15 says this, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. When we look at this table, that we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And so when we look at this table, we remember the cross. We see the gravity of our sin. We see that he took on himself the sin of the world. We see that he paid the price. That's important. Then when I look at this table, I remember that he loves me. While I was yet a sinner, Jesus died for me. That he loves me. That he loves me. The cross shows God's love. He didn't wait for me to be perfect. He died for me while I was yet a sinner. He died for us. People would die for a good man, but who would die for a sinner? Jesus did. He pursued me in love, even to the cross. And so when I look at this table, I not only see the gravity of my sin and the fact that he died in my place, but I also see his love. And I also see, when I look at the cup and the blood that represents the blood, I see the restoring power. Everyone say restoration. I think I preached about that on Sunday morning, didn't I? Restoration, I see the restoring power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood, that though our sins were as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. When I see the blood, I see restoration, that I see the cross, and I see all of those things, that though our sins be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. They be red, they're going to be as white as wool. That's the love of Jesus. So when I look at the cup and the grape juice, which represents his blood, I'm reminded that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. When I see the cup that represents his blood, I'm reminded that if it wasn't for his blood, my debt would still stand. And that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let's all stand in this place right now. Bread that we have at communion, we do our best to get unleavened bread. Nevertheless, it's just symbolic. If we couldn't get unleavened bread, we could use whatever bread we could find. I've been in villages where all I could find was a dry biscuit. That's what we had to use. But this is unleavened bread. The reason why it's unleavened is because in the Bible, leaven speaks of sin. And Jesus had no sin. Something else, and I don't know if this is correct, but unleavened bread, when it breaks, there's a crack and there's a sound. It breaks, it's not torn. Jesus' body, the Bible says, was broken for us. The bread speaks of everything that happened to his body, his broken body. And the grape juice signifies his blood that was shed for us. And this whole table tonight is about remembering. Hopeful memories. Memories that push us into the future. Memories that inspire our tomorrows. Change our lives for the good. That's what this table is all about. Praise God. I'm going to ask Brother Othen to come now, and Brother Rahl, if you could come also to serve the table. In 1 Corinthians 11, you can turn there in your Bibles. In verse 23, we read it at the beginning, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, though, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." That word unworthily, what does it mean? In fact, if I was to ask everyone, lift your hand if you're worthy of Jesus' death. If anybody lifted their hand, that would render them unworthy. Who are we to say we deserve it? We are all unworthy. But what does this word unworthily mean? It means that we have no desire to live for Jesus. We have no love for him. We are not trying to live for Jesus. In fact, we are living in rebellion. That's what it means to partake unworthily. There's some warnings here. If you drink unworthily, you shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It's like there's blood on your hands. Who are you to come here and partake of this table and remember Jesus' sacrifice and have absolutely no appreciation for it? But let a man examine himself. This is it. Examine ourselves. And so then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning or not respecting the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. I like that Paul had to say that. Wait on each other. Tarry one for another. In other words, don't rush the table and grab and snatch. Wait on each other. And then he had to address this. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. This is about remembrance. It's about hopeful memories. It's about memories that thrust us into the future. In the same way, when I go to the War Memorial and I stand there and I see the marching bands and I see the Australian flag and I see the soldiers and I hear the anthem, I stand there and I think, you know what? I'm proud to be an Australian. That moment pales into insignificance. You know, when I leave the Anzac Day, I walk out and I think, you know what? I'm ready to die for my country. I'm thankful for this country that I live in. I feel so patriotic. The same ought to be so when we come to this communion table. I'm so thankful that Jesus saved me. I'm so thankful that he gave his life for me. I'm so thankful that he picked me up out of the miry clay. I'm so thankful that he didn't wait until I had it all together. But while I was a sinner, he died for me. And you know what? We ought to feel that urge. I just want to live for him. I just want to give my life for him. I want to go and tell somebody else, Brother Othen, about Jesus. This is a hopeful memory. That's the power of remembrance. And that's the power of this table. Going to ask our brothers now to pray. Going to ask Brother Othen to pray and thank the Lord for his broken body. And I'm going to ask Brother Rahl to pray and thank the Lord for his blood that was shed.
Almighty God, we have come into your presence, Lord God, with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for you went on the cross and you broke your body, Lord. Lord, we remember your death tonight, Lord. We remember, Lord God, because you did this for us, Lord God. You did it for your church, Lord Jesus. You did it for the people, Lord God, that you call them your ecclesia, your call out ones, the people of God, hallelujah. And Lord, tonight we appreciated you, Lord. We love you, Lord God, with everlasting love, Lord. We love you, Lord, because you went to the cross and you died for us, Lord. You gave your life for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, you say it is finished. And Lord, you did it for me. You did it for the church. You did it for the people. You did it for us, Lord God, that we might have life and life more abundantly. That we might live with you, Lord God, in heaven together. Lord, to live forever and ever, Lord God, eternity, Lord God, to live with you and to worship you, Lord God Almighty. Lord, we cannot have words to explain ourselves, Lord, that we love you so much. And Lord, the things that you've done for us, Lord God, we can never repay you, Lord. We can never repay you, Lord, because you have done so much for us, Lord. But all you can say tonight, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, Lord God, for your grace and mercies, oh God, Lord. For without them, Lord God, Lord, we are nothing, Lord God, Lord. We won't be here, Father, Lord, in front of your presence, oh God, Lord God. We thank you, Father, Lord, for the sacrifice, Lord, for the shedding of blood, Lord, in Calvary, oh God, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, Lord, for covering, oh God, our sins, oh God, Lord. And tonight, Lord, we remember you, oh God, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness of our sins, oh God, Lord. Lord, for without the shedding of blood, Lord, there is no remission of sins, oh God, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, oh God, Lord. And as we partake this communion, oh God, Lord Jesus, we pray that you continue, Lord God, Lord, just to be with us, Lord. Continue, Lord God, to consider us your own, oh God, Lord God. Because, Lord, you are our Father, Lord. You are our God, oh Jesus. And we give you glory. We give you praise, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing. I'm going to ask Brother Othen if you could take this one and the bread. I'm going to ask Sister Sue if you can come and help me as well. Would you be able to take this and go to the back section, stand in the back aisle? Sing this song, please come and collect. Sister Sue is going to be at the back there as well. You can go and collect from her. It's your blood that cleanses me. Oh, yes, Lord. And that cleanses me. It's your blood. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my place. In redeeming sacrifice and washes
me
whiter than the snow,
whiter than the snow,
than the snow, my Jesus, my Jesus. God's precious sacrifice. Sing it again. It's your blood that cleanses me.
It's your blood that cleanses me.
It's your blood, Lord. It's your blood.
Than the snow,
everyone got a piece of bread and some grape juice? The Bible said that Jesus broke the bread and gave thanks. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We've prayed and we've thanked the Lord for his broken body. We've now taken it, and now we're going to eat it, and we're going to thank the Lord for his broken body, and we're going to remember what he has done, and it's going to thrust us into a new and living way for Jesus. Amen. New hope. Let's partake right now and let's thank him. Hallelujah. Why don't you just pray and just thank the Lord right now? Jesus, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your broken body. By your stripes we are healed, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh God. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, "This is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me." Let's thank the Lord for his blood that was shed for us. Let's thank him. And you ought to remember maybe a little glimpse of what your past looked like, and know that while your sins were as crimson, they are as white as snow, washed away because of the blood of Jesus. We ought to be thankful tonight. Amen. Let's partake. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Begin to thank him. Oh, Lord, where would I be if it wasn't for you, Jesus? Oh, where would I be if it wasn't for you, Jesus? We thank you, Lord, that there is restoration in the blood. We thank you, Lord, that there is salvation in the blood. We thank you, Lord, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord tonight. Take some time to worship the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Oh, I love you, Lord. Sing it, church. Oh, your mercy never fails me.
Oh, my days I've been held in your hand.
Oh, yes.
From the moment that I wake up
till I lay.
Till I lay my head,
I will sing of the goodness of
God.
All my life, come on, church, sing it.
All my life, you have been faithful.
Oh, Lord. All my life, you have been so, so good. I will sing of the goodness of God. Love your voice.
I love your voice.
Oh, yes.
Hey, you have led me through the fire.
Through the fire.
And in darkest night. You were close like no other. Your
grace and for your mercy. Oh, yes.
Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Oh, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
You know, sometimes we ought to just get ourselves a little book. Some people call it a grateful journal. Or prayer requests, you know, things that we prayed about, and then when we see the answer to prayer, we write, prayer answered. All the things we're grateful for. You know why? Because in 5 years from now, you can pick up that and just look back and just remember all the things that God has done. You know what? You're not living in the past, but there's hopeful memories there. They're going to thrust you into the future. Amen. We praise God. We praise God for His goodness. You know, tonight, we got to farewell Brother Godfrey and Sister Susan on Sunday. We prayed for them. But some of you weren't here to farewell them. They're as part of the embassy, Zambian embassy here in Canberra. And they're going to be heading home tomorrow, I think. Is that right? Back to Zambia. So make sure they're right back there. Make sure you wish them well before they go. And we've already prayed for them, but keep them in your prayers as they go back home to Zambia. We're going to miss you, but we're glad we got to see you just one more time. They've been packing their house up and being very busy. I said, please just come one more time Wednesday night. We'll squish you in. We'll break the restrictions if we have to. Just come to church. And we didn't break no restrictions, don't worry. Sorry. If you're watching Scott Morrison, we're all COVID compliant here. We sanitized. We did everything we could. Praise God. Don't be nervous. Don't worry. The police won't be here. Praise God. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you. Thank you for this table of remembrance. Lord, that we would not live in the past, but oh God, we would remember so that it thrusts us into a new and living way, a new passion, new hope, new vigor, Lord God, a new desire to live for you with every part of us. Lord, we thank you for the cross today. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's joined us here in person, those that have joined us online. We thank you for our children's ministries, our Pathfinders and the BU girls and the Kids Club, Lord God. We pray that, Lord, the children have also heard from you, Lord, and something they can apply to our lives. We pray you would go with us now as we go our different ways. We pray all of this in the lovely name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, There Is Power in the Blood. In the key of F. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Have a great evening, everyone. God bless you in the name of Jesus.